You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Looking a little beefier, Donald.
Eating a lot these days, are you?
Oh, yeah. Thanks to Uncle McD. He's a saint. Took me and the boys in. Even let Donald... me... park his... my houseboat in the pool. He's a real family man, or my name isn't Launchpad McDonald Duck. Quack?
Hello and welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for DuckTales Season 1, Episode 21, The Secrets of Castle McDuck. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I am your other host, Curtis Findlay.
Whoa, what a doozy of an episode this one is.
Yeah, man.
Wow. Yeah, it's funny because we've obviously been behind, but we are thankfully getting caught up now. We're almost there.
Almost there.
One more episode after this one and then we'll be caught up. But I recall everybody going crazy when this episode aired and going, oh, man, I really wish we were caught up. I got to get caught up. And now I understand
why. It did not disappoint.
This was a phenomenal episode on so many different levels. And there isn't really any news because we've been doing these episodes pretty regular. So we're just barreling towards the season finale. So let's just get right into it. Let's just get into the episode.
Okay.
Here's the description. On a family trip to Scrooge's ancestral castle, Dewey tries to hide the truth about his mom as his brothers search for family secrets. And the air date for this episode was August 8th, 2018, written by Bob Snow and directed by Matthew Humphreys. And, man, oh, man. Okay, so going right into this, this is how you can tell it's a good episode. Neither one of us has just three top moments,
which
we try and keep it to three so that the episodes aren't too long. Because obviously, Curtis and I could just gush about DuckTales and Disney and animation for hours and hours. But
yeah, we have to limit ourselves for
we
sure.
We do. We have to be disciplined. But this episode's so good, I couldn't resist. And it just like right from the get go, it just starts. And I, this is one of the things that I love about this show is that we are cold open midstream in the middle of the story. We don't waste any time with the setup or exposition or anything like that. It's just two or three lines about, okay, we're here. It's the castle. It only shows up every 5 years. We're going to go in and we're going to search for the Templar's gold. One little detail. It's my parents still live here.
Now, I loved how the setup for this is Scrooge is giving them all these instructions like, you don't look at them straight in the eye and all this kind of stuff. And you think that he's talking about like a cursed statue or some sort of witch or something like that. No, it's his parents, his dad in particular.
Yeah, and man, if you thought Scrooge was a crotchety old guy, Scrooge's dad has got him beat by a mile.
I think they get more and more crotchety every generation you go back in his family.
That is, but the evidence definitely supports that. I'll say that it's they soften every generation, right?
Yeah.
And I think Scrooge in particular, with the influence of these kids, has learned the value of family. But it's funny because that's basically the whole episode is them kind of like really focused on that aspect. And it's funny because I think like Scrooge really, he has learned the value of family, and he is actually doing a fairly good job of taking care of his nephew and his nephew's nephews. And so, you know, like, and before, even before that, he had taken in Webby and Mrs. Beakley and all that. So it's like, I don't know. I think that,
but he never talked to them really, or Webby at least. Yes. Like, but, and the funny thing is that he when he's trying to convince his own dad that he's learned something about family, he doesn't know how to convince, even though he's learned those lessons himself, he still puts on a fake, fake appearance.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if he really just honestly talked about everything that they've been up to for the first season of the series, I think that I think he'd be free and clear, right? But yeah. I love it. So I'm going to go into right into one of my my favorite moments is when they first arrive there, and they're kind of going over the, this is when we do get some exposition about the idea that that Scrooge has essentially cursed his family with immortality, his mother and his father.
I love that. That was because when I was watching this with my boys, that was the first thing that Peter asked. Is like, Scrooge is really old. How could his parents still be alive?
Yeah.
Then they answer that.
Yeah, and I love it because Scrooge is explaining it, and Scrooge's dad is like, oh, so you wish you could just be rid of us? And Scrooge is like, What do you want? Do you want me to be sad that you're dead, or do you want me to be happy that you're still alive? And you want me to be around forever? Do you want to leave? Like, what do you want from me? And his dad is like, neither is satisfactory. A thoughtful son would know that. And it's just really driving home the idea that no matter what Scrooge does, it's never going to be good enough for his dad. Which leads to a really great moment towards the end of the episode. And then punctuated by an even funnier joke. But yeah, that was too good. I had to write that quote down. I actually had to go back to make sure that I got the quote right.
Right.
How about you? What was your first top moment?
They get inside the castle, and then Scrooge's mom, and I always forget what her name is. What is that here? Oh yeah, Downey O'Drake or Downey McDuck. She's giving them a tour, and they, like all great castles, there's that one hallway that has all the portraits of the people in the past. And they've got some great stories. And then at the very end, she says, you know, they're just stories. Maybe. Probably. I just love the delivery on that. Yeah. This we have a bunch of... Now, I didn't check to see if these characters and stories were from the comics. I probably should have done that one, but we also get a lot of portraits of Scrooge as a young kid, a baby, as a young child and stuff. So that was funny as well. And I know that ties into one of your top moments.
Yeah, absolutely. Just the whole idea of Whiskers, Scrooge's pet, because they were too poor to have an actual pet. So they just had it was just basically a ball of hair clippings
that they bought from a barber.
And so there's all these wonderful pictures of Scrooge and his best friend Whiskers. And then again with Scrooge's father, complaining about, and you never cleaned up after him, and you never took him for a walk. And it was a ball of hair. And even still, Scrooge being denied the simple pleasure of having a pet is still a source of ire from his father. It's just every opportunity his dad just takes a piece out of him, and you start to realize where Scrooge gets this critical temper from. Where he's it's just so, going back through the whole season, it just gives you so much context for every time. We just rewatched tonight Because Carl wanted to watch DuckTales, so I put on the Missing Links of Moorshire, because we had talked about it on the last episode.
Okay. Yeah.
And in that, Scrooge has a lot of moments where he's being very critical of Dewey, even though Dewey is actually doing a very good job of playing golf. He's not doing it the way that Scrooge wants him to do it. He's not necessarily listening to Scrooge's tutelage, and that causes some friction, right? And you can see where that's coming from. So I just think that's just great writing to have that relationship so clear. And really, really, this episode is the secret origin of Scrooge McDuck, right? I mean, within this, we discover so many things about Scrooge and how he sort of was formed into the character that we see later, right?
He didn't expect as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. The twist towards the end of the episode. There are two twists towards the end of the episode, and both are equally great but go in different directions. And, I just think that they did such a great job of... It's funny, within DuckTales and Darkwing Duck and all of that, the original series did a little bit of world building, and whenever they did, they always did it really well. But this show just excels at it. It's just, it has created really a whole mythology for these characters to inhabit. And as we talk about every episode, there are these avenues for other characters within the what we're calling the Disney Afternoon Universe to show up, right? To the point where it's like, okay, it's DuckTales, it's adventure. Darkwing is obviously a good fit for that. Gizmo Duck is part of that. Like, that all kind of makes sense. But then you're going like, but I could see Goof Troop showing up. Like, I could see Goofy and Max showing up at some point and it being something else, right? Especially because Donald is involved. So, you know, you can see that sort of connection there, and several ways that you could bring that together.
Well, I think the benefit of that is that this whole season, and it's a new, more recent way of just crafting a TV series, is that it has the overarching story that goes through the season. Back in the 80s when DuckTales was first on and all of those original Disney shows, everything stayed the same. Like everything, if they learned something, that it wouldn't necessarily carry over to the next episode. And Darkwing's a good example. All of Darkwing's character development is in that first hour-long TV special.
Yeah.
Where he learns how to care for Goslin. And then after that, he doesn't learn anything for the rest of this show. Right?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, only within a specific episode, right? Where they might set something up and then deal with it, and then it goes back to status quo. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, like, this episode just does so much for really building out the character of Scrooge McDuck and developing him. And I know we'll talk about it later, but I know that so much of that is coming from the comics, but it's really using the comics as a foundation and then building on top of that and really just like building it out more than I think anybody ever conceived that they would. I mean, like I thought when they announced that they were doing this show, that it was going to be fun adventures every week. And then they announced the cast and I was like, oh, it'll have some pretty good comedy in it, 'cause you got some pretty serious chops, within that voice cast, especially the triplets and Launchpad. Like, you've got some very, very heavy hitters, in sketch comedy there. So I was like, okay, it'll be a little bit funnier than the original. I didn't expect it to be as mythology based. I didn't expect it to actually world build and all of that sort of thing. So the fact that it is just this added bonus. And all I was really after was Darkwing Duck, and we got that and so much more. And this episode just really exemplifies that. It really makes you care about the character of Scrooge. It really, really makes you care about the arc with Della and what Dewey's been moving through. I'll talk more about that later, but it's just like these characters are important. Like they're not just throwaway Disney characters in a fun show, right? That's like, okay, I watch the show and then I don't think about it. It's like, no, like they've actually crafted the archetypes from the original series into much more three-dimensional characters that you can kind of live with and identify. As like I said last week, I mean, like, I have a favorite of the three brothers, right? And that was not the case unless you have a favorite color. Right. Huey, Dewey, Louie, it's the same thing, right? But are, now, yeah. Like, it's very clear, like, and you could probably infer something about a person based on which one they like the most, right? So, yeah, they've just done such a great job.
So does that mean you're lazy and greedy?
It definitely means that I admire those qualities. I understand. I get where Louis is coming from. It's like, work smarter, not harder. Yeah. And that's definitely how I live my life. So what's your next one?
I'm going to, let me see. I'm going to skip down to my last one because two of ours are kind of the same. So we'll tackle those ones together here. Sure. So I loved the climax here where Dewey is being chased by the demon hound of Castle McDuck.
Yes.
And he's about to be mauled, I guess, or whatever. And the ghosts that I guess they've unwittingly set free in a couple of instances throughout the episode have been following him around and help scare the dog so that he, you know, the boys don't get destroyed. But they don't know it. And I love the fact that they are obviously setting stuff up for season two.
Yeah.
Because there are a whole ton of ghosts in this castle and they're looking out, like they're protecting. At first you think that the dog is there to protect the treasure.
Mm-hmm.
But then the ghosts, which I would think the ghosts would be there to protect the treasure, which is the family treasure. But no, they're there to keep the dog away. So, and we'll get more into what that all means in the next segment of our episode here. But I just love that we don't know anything about these ghosts and they don't tell us anything. And the nephews don't even know that they're there. They never find out or they never realize that they were helped in that way. So this is definitely going to come back in the next season. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And there's so much, I mean, we're going to talk about the ghosts later, I think, in the behind the scenes, but there's so much of the history there with those characters. And it's like, this episode is just so chock full of great information and great, just like all of this really great content. And this scene is one of those examples and was it was such an earned moment of going kind of through everything and having the brothers, having Dewey kind of at odds with Huey and Louie the whole time, trying to protect them from this revelation. And then, the breaking up of the three of them and then coming back together. I do have to say though
that we've seen that a few times in this season.
Where they
have to rally to, they go their separate ways, and Dea the Only Child is the perfect example of that. And then at the end, they realize, no, we like working together. And this was another one, but I think the stakes were higher in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
because of this family secrets and whatever.
Yeah, and I think that like the sort of the motivation for that story point is a lot deeper than it is in any of the other instances where they've sort of had some discord, right? Like this is, and I almost feel like that's kind of something that's been playing out over the course of the season. And then in this episode, they really kind of, learn the lesson, hopefully for good, you know, like you wouldn't want to see them repeating that over and over, but it's a much more important lesson learned this time than it was previously. And I think the inclusion of all of the family is an important part of that, right?
Yeah, it definitely is.
Cool.
Okay, tell us about the next thing here.
Yeah, so we both agree on this one. Launchpad as Donald Duck.
What a great idea.
It's so good, and it's so fun, because it's like, there's no, it's not like they are working with a cast, and it's like, oh, Donald couldn't be in this episode. He's busy filming something else. It's like, you can put Donald as many episodes as you want, but they use him very sparingly. And this is one of those instances where instead of using Donald, because of the Della stuff, I think that they kind of wanted to keep a distance there. Instead of using Donald, they bring in Launchpad as Donald. And at first we just see him in the outfit and he introduces himself as Donald. And then at the end is like, quack. And Scrooge is like, oh God, this isn't going to work. And it continues to kind of not be working.
Yeah.
Until Launchpad senses that it's not working, knocks over the goblet of water, and then just starts freaking out. And the way that he sort of captures the movement and is a very, like, there was a lot of, we talked last week a lot about, or last episode, a lot about the swipes and animation and that sort of thing. In this one, like, they channel some classic, like 1960s style Donald Duck movement.
It's the pose. Yeah. It's the fighting pose where he has one arm outstretched in a fist and the other arm swings down low and he's hopping on one foot. It's like that is what Donald does when he gets angry. Now, the really, really cool thing about that scene right there is that, and it's incredible. You have to like slow this down and watch it. Launchpad is doing, whenever you see Donald doing that particular move, it's the camera stuck on him and he just is hopping and his arm is swinging. But in this one, when Launchpad does it, Launchpad turns around as he is doing that movement.
Yeah.
Like the animators actually move him and turn him around as he's hopping and his arm is swinging and stuff. Like it looks fantastic.
Yeah. I'm just gonna take this opportunity to just point out the animation in this episode is beyond anything else that we've seen in this season so far. And I don't know, I think we had tweeted something, hadn't we? That little video.
If you go to our Twitter page, one of the animators, I should have looked up his name before we started here. One of the animators posted just the rough animation that he did. Or maybe it was Matt Youngberg that posted that scene of that animator saying this guy did a really good job. I can't remember who it was. But anyway, of Louis talking when he's explaining to his brothers about keeping the secrets. And you can't hear anything. So you just see the rough animation of Dewey talking with his hands and his facial expressions. And it's incredible. It is just stellar. Animation, and like that rough animation, you can still see all the timing on the side and everything like that too.
Yeah.
Like it's so good.
So the shot, it's by Dan Mark Arita Lazaga. One person's name?
We
tweeted a couple days ago, and if you haven't seen it yet, you need to go. Check this
for all
out
of you
on
who think this is flash animated, like this is so far beyond that.
Yeah, so this episode in particular, I think was it was animated here, right? Or not here, but as in like in North America.
I think key scenes were probably the credits, I think, still credit Snipple Animation, which is, I think, in the Philippines.
Okay.
So I think they probably do the bulk of the work, but a lot of the scenes were, a lot of them were probably done here or any ones that needed to be redone were here or, you know, that kind of stuff, the important ones.
Yeah. But like you could tell, and Snipple, I think we've called out in the past as doing some of the better episodes of the season. But this one just stands, I think, head and shoulders above the rest of the season. And I'm not sure if that was like a concerted effort. I like a choice of like, okay, this episode's really important. Let's sort of put as many resources into it as we can. But you can just kind of feel it in so many of the character moments and the animation, the performance in the animation. So coming from Dewey in this moment, and then I'm just going to bring up one of my other moments. Louie, when they're in the tomb and the brothers find out that Dewey's been searching on his own, and not included them in this, and Huey is being very Huey about it, very analytical of like, I can't believe you would do this. Like, you would, like, we're brothers. We're supposed to do everything together. And this is important. And sort of giving them I think what we would expect the others to like how we would expect those characters to react.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to Louie and he's on the ground and he's got this bag in his hands and I think the jacket and it just like the comedy, the action, the adventure breaks for a second. It just disappears and all of a sudden it's completely dramatic and Louie is just heartbroken that Dewey would keep these things from them. Like that he's like, he just basically says like, what are you doing? This is mom. Like you're, like you have no right to keep these secrets, and it is just like it's a heartbreaking moment, and it's, I think it's punctuated by the fact that Louie is played as a character who doesn't care. He's very aloof most of the time.
Yeah, yeah. And so is it just putting on a front?
Yeah, exactly. And so like this is that moment where between the three of them, he's completely dropped his guard. And is like, you can kind of feel like he's on the verge of tears, right? Like
the performance is really well. Yeah.
The voice performance from Bobby Moynihan is just pitch perfect in that moment. And it's just supported so well by the animation because Louie just like in his face, he just looks completely heartbroken. And there's another moment towards the end with Scrooge and his father where it's Fergus, right?
Yep.
Reveals that he was actually the one who gave Scrooge his number one dime through, like, yeah. He hired the
stranger to muddy his boots. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he crafted this scenario for Scrooge to give him the motivation to succeed. And when we cut back from the flashback to Scrooge, it's again, just this incredible moment of expressive, and Scrooge doesn't even say anything for a second. And it's all just drawn on his face. And you understand everything in that moment. And it's very visceral. So I don't know. I feel like because so much of the humor in this episode was either a physical like performance gag, like the Donald thing, or Scrooge and Fergus getting upset at each other at the same time in the same way and really looking very similar, and sort of almost mirroring each other's movements, and then all the stuff with the boys and the emotion of that, and then the chase with the dog.
Okay, I want to call out one scene for this chase here, and it is so the dog is chasing Dewey, and Dewey is running down the hall and bumps into the coffin and lets a few of the ghosts out, and then this one shot, the camera is like underneath him, as Dewey's running, and the backgrounds, the hallways, the walls are also being animated at the same time. It's not a stationary. Picture like that, and it's just like for half a second, and Dewey jumps over a coffin or something as well. It's just fantastic, and then it switches back to its normal, kind of the normal way storyboard or whatever. Yeah. But wow, like just creative thinking there.
There are several moments in this episode where it ceases to be TV quality animation, and they just go straight to feature quality, and I think that's one of them. The way that Dewey interacts with the environment in that shot, which he kind of has to in order to sell that he's moving through it, right? But he, like you say, he bumps into the coffin, and when he bumps into the coffin, he kind of like recovers. And it's just all this great animation of him like touching the ground and getting his footing again. And then, like you say, he leaps over the next one. And it's just, they just went above and beyond anything that they needed to do for this show. And like this is a show that has had stellar animation throughout the season, and is really kind of putting other shows to shame.
I feel like it's gotten better. I think I need to go back and watch the first few episodes and see for sure. But I feel like I wonder if part of this, the reason for the really long hiatus.
Yeah.
I know that Frank Angonis was saying that they needed to make some changes, and that's why the hiatus was extended.
Yeah.
And I don't know if any of that's animation related, but there's definitely a step up in this back half of the episodes.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that after the success of the first half of the season, that Disney probably wanted to reinvest a little bit. Because this series was a gamble, right? And like for many reasons. Bringing back a beloved franchise is difficult. Hear me talk about that a lot on Rebel Cells. It's very difficult to bring back something, especially something as dormant as DuckTales.
And then you change the design,
and then to change it so much,
the voices.
Yeah, and to go a completely different direction with it, where it's going to actually be much more comedic than adventure, much more character centric than story centric. And then on top of all of that, in this era today, to say, well, we're going to do this traditionally. It's going to be traditionally animated, which is very expensive. And there's not a lot of studios out there that are doing traditional animation to the quality level that Disney wants to do it, right? And then the series is a success, and I won't be at all surprised if we actually see a return to traditional animation as a result of this show, because I think that Disney is going to look at it and go like, okay, when we put that effort in, when we put that investment in, it actually does have a result. This is more successful than, not to throw any shows under the bus, but I mean, like, this show is much more successful than Puppy Dog Pals, which is a fun show for preschoolers, but the animation definitely lacks a lot. Kara loves it, and I'm sure they're selling lots of merchandise to two-year-olds, but it's just not a show that's going to have staying power, right? But a show like this, I think when the craft is as artfully executed as it is on this show, that stands the test of time. And that's why we can go back to the original DuckTales, and we can go back to Darkwing Duck, and we can go back to Gargoyles and all of these shows and go, you know what, this actually does still stand up. Even in standard def, it's still enjoyable to watch, right? As opposed to going back to, I don't know, like Mickey's Clubhouse, and it's like, that it looks dated, right? And it's and that's not even that old. That's only a few years ago, and now, and yet you look at it today and you go like, this is kind of right? I don't know. I just think that they're doing such a great job, and that's being rewarded in a series that has a lot of support online. And I mean, like, with all the merch, Disney store is sold out of basically all of the stuffies, and at least they are up here. The figure sets and stuff, like, they're definitely hard to find, and they were full of them when they came out. So like, yeah. There was plenty of stock at one point, but I think that kids are really connecting with it. I think that the, in the same way that like a Star Wars does, like there's a generational thing. Obviously, Curtis, you're watching with your kids and I'm watching with Kara, and it's, you know, like there's a family connection there, which is what Disney is all about, right? That's kind of at the core of everything. I mean, the original series had that, I'm sure had that same element to it to a certain degree of like parents who read the comics and now there's a cartoon show and they can watch it with their kids, right?
I think so, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I really hope that this is sort of the beginning of a new era for Disney TV animation, where we can see a lot more stuff like this. Not that I dislike computer animated stuff, because the last two Star Wars series were both computer animated, and the Forces of Destiny is Flash animated, but I would be really stoked if they announced a traditionally animated Star Wars series, right? That would
like
be
the
incredible.
First Clone Wars series.
I think a little bit better animation than that, but
well, that one had very, very stylized animation.
Yeah, that was Genndy Tartakovsky, so that was very of the time, right? But
I think you would find though that Disney does things like, I think, Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah,
and like Milo Murphy's Law, I think those are, they're not Flash. I'm pretty sure there's an element of traditional animation in there. I mean, it's all still done on computers and such.
Yeah, absolutely.
Disney still is keeping that alive in a small degree.
Well, and I mean, like, you bring up a great point, because from the last few years, what is one of the shows that really stands out for Disney? Two of them are Phineas and Ferb and Gravity Falls. And Gravity Falls, I think, is also traditionally animated, right?
Like, yeah.
And Gravity Falls had some great animation in it. That series was phenomenal at times.
Right.
So, yeah, like, it is definitely something that's been building, but I feel like DuckTales, like I said in this episode, it hits feature-level animation with some of those character moments, with the expressiveness and with the action and all of that. They just really did such a great job. Was there anything else you wanted to point out
think we should move on. Yeah.
Cool.
We spent a long time on this part already, and we've got a lot of stuff to go.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, behind the scenes, references, Easter eggs. I don't think that there's not a lot of behind the scenes stuff, but we have a lot of references, and some could be considered Easter eggs. Okay, so there's one scene where where Huey, Dewey, and Louie first get into the tombs there, and they're walking down a spiral staircase holding torches.
Yes.
And it is exactly the same layout, and like they're looking in the same places as that iconic moment in the theme song of the original DuckTales where they are doing the same thing, except Scrooge is with them in the original. It's a direct copy.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's really cool. I like it when they do that kind of thing. Now, I've been trying to figure this out, and when this season is over, I'm going to go through and rewatch all of these episodes, but I'm pretty sure that a character says, "Wait, what?" in every single episode of this season.
Yeah, okay.
And they did in the last one. So I've been paying attention in just these last couple of episodes, and Scrooge said it in this one, and in a way that wasn't typical. I think it was when he was talking, when his dad revealed that he was the one who gave him his dime.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's considered an Easter egg or what, but it's something that I think happens in every episode. So check that out, see if it's true. Okay. We can mention that Graham McTavish and Ashley Jensen are Scrooge's parents, the voice actors for Scrooge's parents, Fergus and Downey McDuck. And again, with Disney has done the thing where they hire people of this specific ethnicity to voice these characters. They're both Scottish. So that's kind of cool. And let's see here. So should we dive into the McDuck family history a little bit here?
Yeah, let's do it. You're taking me to school basically, because this is all kind of, I've seen some of these images before, like the family tree and stuff, but you've probably got a little bit more background.
So two things that people are going to want to have open, or like available to them. Maybe we can put these on the website on when we post the episode.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I will. I'll put them in the episode description. So if you go to tuneafternoon.com and this episode, if you're listening to this right when this episode comes out, it should be the most recent episode. But if not, I think you can search.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, everything's in order, so you'll be able to find it. So find this episode and go into the description and you'll see we'll have these two images there.
Yeah, one of them is Don Rosa's family McDuck family tree, which is a very famous image in the comics. You can find it all over the internet. And the other is just a screen cap of Huey, Dewey, and Louie with all of the ghosts standing behind them. And you should look at these ones because all of these ghosts are actual descendants of Clan McDuck. Now, in the comics, the ghosts of past generations of McDucks are all hanging around the castle. In fact, they play golf together in the clouds. And so all of these ghosts that you see here are actual people from the family tree. So let's go from left to right. We have Sir Ider McDuck, who, if you go to the family tree, you can see kind of at the bottom of the left trunk. And he is, his name is mentioned on Webby's board, but it's misspelled on Webby's board. They call him Elder McDuck.
Okay.
Okay, so the next guy standing in front of him, he's missing an arm. This is Sir Swamphole McDuck, who's also on the family tree, kind of near the bottom as well. And Swamphole is the one who originally all of those tunnels and stuff under the castle that they are exploring, they were actually kind of torture chambers and stuff.
Okay.
And Sir Swamphole McDuck sealed them up, because he said they had no use for torture chambers.
Mm-hmm.
So they became hidden, and for years they were unknown until someone discovered them and started hiding stuff down there. So the next person with the feather in his hat, that's Simon McDuck, who they mentioned in the episode. And they mentioned that Simon is the accountant for the Knights Templar.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually the treasurer. He just holds the money. I don't know that he actually accounts for anything, but he's not on the family tree, because he's actually a fairly recent character. He was created in, I think, 2004, and just added another layer to the McDuck story. So the family tree that Don Rosa drew is, I think, from the 90s. So he's not on there, but he's an important figure because he's the one who hid the treasure of the Knights Templar in Castle McDuck. And then the one standing directly behind Dewey, who kind of looks like Scrooge, is Quagmire McDuck, which is Scrooge's great uncle and Dingus McDuck's brother. And then beside him is Sir Roast McDuck, who's, I think, his only claim to fame is that he just likes to eat a lot. Next to him is Seafoam McDuck. And then, and both of those guys, Roast and Seafoam, they're both on the family tree near the bottom there as well. And then beside the woman on the end is Molly Mallard, who is Scrooge's grandmother and Fergus's mother and Dingus's wife. So the interesting thing about this one is that Dingus McDuck is not in this group.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, is he still alive? Is he cursed with immortality as well? Will we see him? Will he pop up at some point? I sure hope so. Mm.
Or could they be saving him for something important in the future?
Like as a ghost, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it could be. But they've mentioned Dirty Dingus a few times through this season, and he has a special shout out on Webby's board
Yeah.
So he's, and yeah, so they're going to probably play with his character a little bit more. I doubt in this season, probably in the next one.
Yeah, probably next season. Cool.
Okay, so the, oh yeah, you have anything to say about this?
No, no, I just love the this attention to detail and the just the thoughtfulness put behind this. It's really great. Yeah. And it's great because this family tree is quite large and there's a lot in it.
Yeah, you can see each one of these characters, each one of these ghosts is dressed in a different time period.
Yeah.
Going back to like the conquistador days and the medieval times, and Quagmire's dressed like in the late 1800s or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all have a different style.
Yeah, and then there's the whole other side of the family that's not the McDuck clan, that's basically the side that Gladstone comes from. And yeah. And it's just, it's so cool because I think that like a less thoughtful, less insightful person probably would have left, or probably would have it maybe included some of these other characters because they have cool designs and just sort of like grabbed characters from this family tree. But they were very thoughtful to make sure that everybody was coming directly from the McDuck lineage, right? So,
well, and this was Don Rosa completely, because he, when he started doing his comics in the 90s, he decided, late 80s, he wanted to tie everything together, because the writers in the past would just kind of throw things out there without any regard to continuity or whatever, because it was, they were just Donald Duck comics. Nobody really cared. And then when he took over, well, he didn't take over, but when he was writing his stories, he decided he wanted to find a way to actually connect everyone. And that's when he wrote The Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck, which chronicled all of these major points, the Klondike and, you know, everything that happened to Scrooge, and tied it all together, answered questions, filled in gaps, and that's when he created this family tree. So yeah, there's characters that we're going to see in the next season, like Feathery Duck, which on the family tree, he's right beside Gladstone Gander. Feathery will be in the next season. We saw clips of him at Comic-Con, and I'm sure all some of these other ones, like Gus Goose and Grandma Duck, like they're pretty popular in the comics, so I'm sure that they'll show up at some point as well.
Yeah, that's it's just so cool that there's this whole other world of McDucks and ducks, and you know, like what you can see at what point they switch over from McDuck to duck, and where that comes from, and yeah, I
right. So it's all of that other half. It's
yeah.
It's because Scrooge's sister Hortense married Quackmore Duck.
Mm-hmm.
So Hortense was the McDuck side, Quackmore was the duck side. And
yeah.
So that's why Donald Duck is not Donald McDuck.
Yeah.
Because he takes his name from his paternal side. Like they thought that much through, right?
Yeah. And I love that even back then, Huey, Dewey, and Louie's father is unknown.
Yeah, that was always the biggest secret, biggest mystery that they never, ever addressed.
Yeah.
And that's the big question. Are they going to address the father of Huey, Dewey, and Louie in this show? We don't know. It would be unprecedented if they did.
Yeah, very big deal if they tackle that. But you know what? I think after, and you know, we've still got another episode and then the season finale before we're done this season. But I would say that especially with this episode, that they've kind of earned their right to add to the story. Now that would be a very, very big addition to the lore. But I don't know. You got to answer that question at some point, right? But you got to make it worth it.
Maybe.
So
this, I also want to mention that there's an old episode in the original DuckTales called The Curse of Castle McDuck. And that story is completely different than anything that we've been talking about here. And it's because all of this stuff that Don Rosa did, he did after that original DuckTales show was over. So all of this connecting the lineage together and everything like that, it was all done, like it didn't exist when the original DuckTales was airing. So that's, I think, why this DuckTales is drawing so heavily on it, is because they have just a wealth of new material to dig from that they didn't have back in the 80s. So, and then in that Curse of Castle McDuck is actually taken from an old Carl Barks comic called The Hound of the Whiskervilles, I think. Okay. And in that one, Scrooge just says that his family has a castle and is haunted by this dog that's, you know, a ghost dog. They call it a demon dog in this one. They just call him the Hound of the Whiskervilles in the comic, and I don't think they call him that in the TV in the old TV show. But anyway, they find out that the dog is actually not really a dog, but someone dressed up as a dog from a neighboring castle, the Whiskervilles, and because the Whiskervilles are trying to find the treasure that's buried and hidden in the castle. So I wonder if they're going to bring that into play at some point in season two as well, because that would certainly answer the question as to why the ghosts scare away the dog, and the dog is not actually there to protect the treasure; it's there looking for the treasure.
Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting, right? Because they kind of, I think that that Downey had been talking to them earlier about, and there's the secret tunnels underneath, and the hound, the ghost hound or whatever that protects it, but there's also, like you mentioned earlier, the line about like most of these stories are. Most of this is just stories, probably,
maybe.
And this is one of those instances where it's like, okay, so she had information, but that information might not necessarily be correct. Right.
Yeah.
That there might be some falseness in there. And, it's a good example of that sort of thing. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, that wraps up this section. I don't have anything more to add, and I would appreciate,
I think that's it.
If anybody has anything more to add, we'd love to hear your thoughts or your theories or anything that you want to tell us.
Yeah. If anybody caught any extra stuff, we would love to hear from you. But yeah, I think with that, we should check in with our junior woodchucks and see what they thought about this episode.
Mm-hmm.
The Junior Woodchuck Podcast, and today we're going to be talking about the episode Secrets of Castle McDuck.
My name is Peter.
My name is Milo.
And I was going to do the intro, but Milo stole it from me.
No, I so did not.
I had it planned for me. This episode's about more finding out about
Scrooge McDuck.
Because this one's called Secrets of Castle McDuck.
Oh, in this episode, just want to say, if you listened to the last episode, Sky Pirates in the Sky, you might have heard that Peter at the end said that his parents live actually in the castle.
And Milo.
What?
How are they still living?
Because Scrooge McDuck put a curse on them.
And I thought he was a billionaire, not a witch or something. What's the thing that Dewey does when he wants to ignore something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like he pretends he's thinking, like puts his hand on his chin and goes like,
No, he goes like this, Peter.
Yeah, like he's just like his mind's blank, and he's just thinking of something in his mind which we don't know. And Webby points out that he always does that, and it's kind of annoying. Anyways, Milo, what was your favorite part?
My favorite part was
when the demon dog chased Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
My favorite part was when was the big secret when they gone on this mystery, like when they were trying to find out what the clue was on the portrait. That's my favorite part. And Milo, what was your funniest part?
When I saw that Scrooge McDuck's parents were still alive.
My favorite part was when the whole mystery thing about the portrait was just a prank on Donald Duck.
Wait, I'm back in. What I learned is that Della Duck put a prank on Donald Duck.
Anyways, I think this is the end of our podcast. Okay.
I'm hungry right now.
Milo signing out. I think we should sign out now. Bye.
Now it's time for our lucky dime rating. I'm pretty sure I can guess where we're going to end up on the scale for this one. Mike, what do you give this
one? You know, I got it after all of that gushing that I did about the animation and the performances and everything and the world building. I mean, like, this probably is one of our longer episodes. There's a reason for that. So I got to give it 50 cents. I got to give it the full five dimes.
I, too, will give it a full five dimes, giving us a perfect $1 rating for this episode. And we didn't even talk about, like, Webby had a great role in this, too. She was just there for comic relief and stuff. But, it was really funny.
Yeah, the moment at the end when she just snaps out of it finally.
She
realizes and it's
that
like,
she hasn't asked any questions that she wants to.
Yeah, and it'll be 5 years before she can even get the opportunity to ask those questions again. So
Yeah, which definitely. I hope that it's not 5 years, because then we won't be revisiting this castle until the season six.
I'm sure there's a magical loophole somewhere. If they need to go to the castle, they can figure it out.
Right.
Let's take a peek at our episode ranking and where it's at now with the inclusion of the other bin.
We inserted we inserted Sky Pirates here. Now this was a very interesting one, because the bottom three were all so very close. Beware the Buddy System again took top spot with 32% of the votes, but then the other bin and Golden Lagoon both got 23% and Sky Pirates got 22%, so it just barely lost. I'm not surprised that it lost, because the other ones are better episodes than Sky Pirates.
Yeah, for sure.
But I was surprised at how close it was. So we're taking out Sky Pirates, putting in this one, which I'm sure will do really well. I know it will, because we've already seen the results.
Spoilers.
And we'll talk about the results in the next episode.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, speaking of the next episode, it's our penultimate episode before the season finale, here it is, the last crash of the Sun Chaser. Stuck on a precarious peak, the kids secretly search for the plane for the final clue about Della's mysterious disappearance. I haven't watched this episode yet. I'm really excited to watch it. I'm going to probably watch it pretty soon.
Yeah, me too.
Within the next day or so. And I am super excited, because everybody has been talking about this one online to the point where I've actually had to avoid Twitter and some of the groups and stuff like that, because I don't want this one to get spoiled for me. So
I've been doing the same thing.
We're definitely going to get this one recorded and out before the end of the week for the last crash of the Sun Chaser, so that we can have our season finale episode to you as soon as possible after the season finale airs, because there's going to be a lot in that one to talk about. I'm really looking forward to that, because it's got a special guest star in it. Don Cheadle as the voice of Donald Duck. Figure that one out.
Crazy.
I am really, really looking forward to it. But yeah, that's it for this episode, and we will catch you guys on the next one.
Mm-hmm. See you next afternoon.
Don't forget, you can stay up to date with all the latest DuckTales news by heading to cartoonafternoon.com, where you'll find everything DuckTales and Disney cartoon related for the shows that we cover. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ToonAfternoon, as well as on Twitter at ToonAfternoon. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that by sending us an email at ToonAfternoon@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at Curtis Findlay, KurtisFindlay.
And I'm on Twitter at ArkWulf, ArkWulf. And don't forget that we are part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com to check out all the other great podcasts in our network. And if you want to support us, you can do that two ways. First, by heading to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some merch. Or you can head to patreon.com/thunderquack and pledge your support over there. It's a monthly pledge. As low as $1 a month gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, as well as the Thunderquack Patreon Facebook group. So that's patreon.com/thunderquack. And thank you to everybody who does support us over there.
Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon is not associated with the Disney Company in any way. All characters, titles, music, and everything is all copyright of their respective owners. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon.